Hi, hello, and welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. My name is Beatriz Valero, and today I'm joined by Dr. Semnik Kamlok, Head of AI at Digital and PwC, and we'll be discussing the topic of AI and industry and what skills do specialists need to really leverage these new technologies. So, hi, Semnik, welcome for the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Beatriz.
It's great to have you today, and this is such a big topic and such an interesting topic that, you know, everyone's discussing. Can you just take a second and introduce kind of yourself and your role?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for having me. I'm leading the AI and digital programs here in PwC Middle East, and I'm focusing on the training programs. I'm part of PwC's academy, so we are designing and upskilling programs, and my pure focus is on AI and digital business transformation. To give you a little bit my background and relevance, actually my PhD is in finance. So I'm not an IT guy, I'm not a computer scientist. I upskilled myself into the field of AI, but having a background both in business and AI actually allows me to interpret any kinds of business data, come up with AI solutions to any client in any industry, etc. Because we will talk about the skills today, I just wanted to share this kind of my background. I have a diverse background in terms of business as well. I started in FMCG, then moved to telecommunications. So I have a quite generalist profile.
Perfect. And yeah, it's going to be so interesting to hear your thoughts on both sides of the picture, the business side, also the technology, and how can people kind of follow your lead and also upskill themselves. So on that, I was reading a PwC's latest report was talking about just upskilling in a digital world and kind of the new skills that employees will need in this digital economy with so many changes, as all the new technologies are coming up all the time. We have Gen AI recently. So how can organizations ensure that their workforces can adapt to these changes?
Digital upskilling, of course, is not new, as you know. With the developments, advancements in AI, it is getting more and more important, and it is getting a bit more challenging for organizations to adapt. Again, another PwC study says that one of the reasons for digital transformation efforts fail is when we forget the people. We invest in technology, we consider the processes to be digitalized, but we don't upskill people, or we don't take the opinion of the people in that sense. So for the companies to succeed or to get the benefits of all these recent technologies, actually, we need a particular focus here. And it has, of course, several aspects. Not everybody will become AI experts, right? You cannot invest in everyone to become AI experts, machine learning, algorithms, whatever. So it starts with envisioning the organization structure. How many people in which part of the organization, the business, will become the experts? And is everybody in the organization aware of AI, aware of all the technologies impacting their business, their industry? And do you need some kind of middle ground between the experts and the rest of the business? So once you set this strategy, of course, you need programs. And another PwC report found out that when you launch an upskilling program, not just standalone training, okay, I'm sending you AI training for one day, not that kind. A long program which is communicated by the leaders. Leaders are taking the training themselves. Actually, it has many, many side benefits in terms of culture, in terms of engagement, in terms of productivity, etc. So this is also one thing to consider when you launch a upskilling program in AI, Gen AI, etc. And you incentivize, you just look to recognize the efforts of the people because you want to get the return, right? Yes. We have return on investment, $1 million question for training programs. Also, the organizations need to see, okay, what are the pilot projects? What is the return? What is the gain we get as a result? Also push the employees to apply what they learned with these, about these technologies.
Yes, it's so interesting. When people hear AI, they immediately jump to just kind of replace jobs, and this seems very antagonistic. Well, it's about how to incorporate people, make it useful.
Yes, exactly.
And obviously the main word that everyone's been talking about today, this year, is generative AI. What are some of the ways do you see it impacting businesses?
Especially for text generation tasks. So we see it a lot in marketing, you know, all kinds of communications. We see it a lot in HR for internal communications, procurement, legal, when you want to develop some contracts, etc. Beginning with these kind of roles, text-heavy roles, I can say, there are huge gains. I'm not saying the AI can do the whole job, as you mentioned, but I like the approach. There's a nice quote I like is, AI took my job to the next level. So AI is already taking the jobs of these people to the next level, not replacing them. You get the, like you will prepare a communication, you get the draft easily and quickly from these tools, GenAI tools, and then you focus on editing, polishing, etc. You finalize it out. So the benefit here is the time saving. And also, the time allocation changes as well. In the past, or in traditional ways, you would spend more time in drafting some kind of a content, but here you spend more time on editing because you get the draft from these tools quickly. And there are several empirical studies here. One says there is 37% time saving gain when you do your job with this. Also, another one is the diversity of ideas. Like AI is helping you come up with new kind of ideas, new kind of things to say, things to do in these kind of tasks as well. It is also quite promising because I run a lot of brainstorming workshops. The first ideas coming to people's minds, always same. So we need kind of a trigger to come up with new ideas. And also, these tools, when you go in more advanced use cases or when you get the licenses and everything, you can do it for many, many other tasks as well. For data analytics, for example. Data analytics requires some good skills, some advanced skills, I would say. So when you use these tools, like you upload your data to one of these tools, you can actually analyze your data by asking questions. So simply, purely by, you don't know any statistics, you don't know any techniques, etc. It helps you go through those data analytics steps. Or you want to draft a presentation, these tools help you. Or even one use case I like is you have a report, a Word report or anything. You can easily convert it into a presentation by using this, which is quite a common task in the business. And when you go to next step, when you integrate these actually into your own data, the possibilities are even bigger.
Yes, that's incredible. And always easier to work not from a blank page, but from something, especially for people in leadership position, things like that. Like, time is money. Like, it's so important to kind of save that time. So it definitely seems like it's going to make a massive impact. Yes, we talked a little bit about this, but how do you foresee the integration of generative AI changing the future of workforce?
I think we haven't seen most of it yet. So what we see, maybe the 10-20% of what will come. So there has been a recent announcement that Dubai government will try 4-day working week.
Okay.
And hopefully, I'm hoping.
That'd be nice.
It will be cascaded to private sectors as well. So it's all our hopes. So one of the future predictions I have is we will generate the same economic output by working less. Because, as I said, I gave you some time-saving benefits. So it is like the foreseeable and also the most motivating and promising future benefits and future impacts to the workforce. So hopefully we will keep our salaries because we generate the same output, right? And also, the way we do tasks, in addition to the examples I gave, will change dramatically as well. If you consider the most popular GenAI tool, ChatGPT, what does the interface of ChatGPT look like? It's just one chat box, right?
Yes, very simple.
And when you compare it to other interfaces, you have an app that you are a customer of, or a company's app, etc. It's very sophisticated. You need all the buttons, all the features, all different options, etc. So that interface will be actually the benchmark. Within Bill Gates, within 5 years, this was last year's prediction, so within 4 years, we will interface many, many technologies, of course, beginning with our phones, our laptops, maybe our cars even, in the simplicity of ChatGPT. So instead of all the apps you have in your phone, you will just ask your phone. And of course, it will soon to switch to speech as well.
Oh, okay.
Like it's an obvious near future. So you will ask your phone to send a message to someone. Hmm. You will ask your phone to read your emails, and you will reply, speak your replies to those emails. It will make you call a taxi for you by just order pizza or anything, by just talking to your phone. Currently, this is possible. Uh-huh. Technology-wise, we just need the integration of all this data, all of your accounts, all the different apps you have. And when you put it into the workforce, the way we do our business with our laptops, you might soon see an office full of people, all of them speaking to their laptops.
But to their phones.
Do this, do that, open this, send this, open this, do that, etc., etc. So That is like quite, it will be interesting. But its implications is still quite different. So if knowing a software will not be a differentiator, because currently in the workforce, when you know how to use something, it's a differentiator,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Because when you to use your language, you don't need to know anything, right? You just ask it and it is performing the job for any kind of tool, any kind of tasks. So that differentiation between the people, between different employees will be quite interesting. And since we can delegate more in the technical skill side to these tools, soft skills will be even more important. Yeah. Critical thinking, negotiation, problem solving, obviously, because if we will have more time, we will have the opportunity to focus on more value-adding things, solve the big problems of the humankind, like climate change or the recessions, etc., etc. So that skill set of the future of the workforce will be quite interesting as well. So we have a daughter, she's 4 years old now. Already like a couple years ago, she was able to type on her tablet and on my laptop while I'm working. She was quite curious about it. So I was thinking, although she doesn't have the muscles developed and she cannot write, but she can type. I was thinking, does she need to learn how to write, handwriting?
That's so interesting.
Can we survive without handwriting? I'm not saying can we do. Nope. Can we survive? Yes, right? For signature, you can scribble anything. And that's it. And I was just thinking about it, and I told it to a friend, and he has a son about 8 years old. Mm-hmm. He said, my son is refusing to learn how to read. Because her tablet, computer, his tablet, his computer is speaking back to him. And you can read many articles, many stuff by pressing the play button, right? Mm-hmm. So also this podcast will be listened. So the way we consume media is less reading, more watching, listening, etc. So also from that perspective for future generations, will it enable that they don't need to learn how to read and write even? Like if you are doing your job, if you are doing everything in your life by speaking to some kind of technological device, do you need to spend all those years to learn to read, write, etc.? So the, as I said, implications will be very, very interesting.
Yes, it's fascinating. It's like almost a full circle where not all people knew how to read and then now everyone does. It's kind of going back. So talking about these new generations that are, you know, going to join the workforce with like fully digital mindset, what can organizations and educational institutions kind of do to prepare for this new landscape?
Yeah, it requires an open mindset, obviously, We had this clash between generations already, like between 5 to 10 years ago, but not, it is increasing now. Mm-hmm. If the new generations are adapting technology, but the old generations is not. So you need to have that open mindset. So if future generation more adapting, or the when you use these technologies, it has all these benefits, then you need to embrace that. It's also the most difficult one to change, to implement the mindset, to shifting the culture. It requires a lot of effort. So I would focus on keeping track of technology or investment in technology almost equal, also are able to change the culture, the way of working, or the embracing new business models to fully get the benefits from these technologies to get ready. That's one of the things. Also, you need to be quite flexible as well to be able to shift, to change the skills, reskill, upskill. Also, there is this term I like, unlearn. We should also, especially at the leadership, are able to, are you willing to forget what you know? Because this new way of working is might be better. That we need to be ready for those, with the flexibility to embed, to inject new skills, new people, new generations to the organization. So I think plug in, plug out kind of style might be embraced new. There was this concept from the employee's perspective, portfolio career. People doing different jobs at the same time, some voluntary jobs, some university job, part-time jobs, etc. So organizations need to be ready with this AI-enabled workforce.
Right. Are there any samples of specific programs or initiatives that you've seen that are very successful at this?
We started our GenAI transformation, and I'm the GenAI lead of my line of service. Yes. At PwC. It has various aspects. So we have some AI factories. So in itself, it's a workforce or working group. So it has all the representatives or different roles. It has a prompt engineer. It has a data engineer. Mm-hmm. It has an algorithm expert. It has the pod leader, like a product leader kind of role. So it is able to innovate with AI for different parts of the business. Mm-hmm. So we might need this kind of small workforce groups who is more agile, more flexible, mm-hmm. and acting more quickly to solve some business problems using AI. We also launched our GenAI upskilling program globally, which PwC promised to invest around $3 billion just for the GenAI skills of the employees. So it requires some investment, some efforts, and prioritization by the leadership as well. And of course, another recent good practice came from the Dubai government. Mm-hmm. Dubai launched AI in Dubai initiatives. In case you didn't notice, the last letters of Dubai is AI.
Of course.
So in May, Sheikh Hamdan launched the Dubai Universal Blueprint for AI. Yeah. In case you didn't notice, again, the initials make Dubai. Dubai Universal Blueprint for AI.
It's good marketing.
So part of this blueprint is that chief AI officers assigned to all government entities.
Wow.
So it is like unmatched globally anywhere in the world. So this shows that dedication to AI. So the government has some technology hubs which is doing these kind of projects serving the other entities. But if you don't have some buy-in from those entities, not easy to implement, not easy to deploy. So when you have that AI officer, chief AI officer in all of them, it shows that dedication and also the roadmap that it will be easy to deploy, easy to implement. Also part of the blueprint, we have Dubai AI Campus. We have AI license, commercial AI license for AI companies specifically. Also being an AI professional, part of the Golden Visa eligibility criteria as well. So to attract and also to reap the benefits of AI, Dubai government is setting a good example.
Yes, that's amazing. And as you said, it's so useful that they have a specialist across all businesses, not just create a separate minister and then have to communicate and talk between them. We've talked a lot about Dubai. Do you see a similar emphasis in AI across the Middle East?
Yeah, of course. So it is one of the hottest regions in the world when it comes to AI developments. And also Saudi has this one of the largest AI funds globally that they're investing in AI startups and AI ventures, which is a great investment in terms of diversification of the economy and also setting an example for the again, government offices, again, private sector, and for the people, so that they are motivated, they are promoted to invest in AI skills as well. Also, the Saudi government HR is sponsoring AI training programs as well, which we have developed also good AI programs, and I'm happy to share that I launched with our academy the first ever AI certification program across the Middle East 4 years ago. And so now the government is sponsoring when you want to upskill yourself in AI. This is a great initiative by the Saudi government. Also, to promote AI and other technological advancements, the Saudi has the LEAP conference happening around February, March every year. It's a very big hub for technology enthusiasts. I would recommend everyone follow that. And of course, we have its equivalent JITEX here in Dubai as well. And also from the AI strategy wise, I think all governments, maybe with some a few exceptions, have their own national AI strategy with some promised actions, with some initiatives, incentives to be completed by government as well, which is quite promising for AI enthusiasts like me.
Yes, and it's very exciting, very busy for yourself. In terms of kind of looking forward a little bit, what would you say is the most pressing question that kind of all leaders should be asking themselves in terms of AI adoption?
I think they should ask the ultimate question, are we ready? Or are we reaping the benefits already? Maybe because AI is already here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not already our future anymore. It's here and now. So are we ready and are we doing the right things right now? So that should be, they should have some kind of FOMO, not to make them too anxious, but definitely there is this thing. Of course, not to be tracked by some kind of buzzword, some kind of trends, which might not be the actual trend, but seeing the benefits AI has promises impacting all the industries, all the businesses. So are you ready? Are you already using that? And it comes down to asking some specific questions. Are our technology ready? Do we need to invest in our technology, which usually leads to some problems with data, because data is the raw material of AI. If you don't have good material, good raw material, then the end product will not be good as well. And do you have the right organization structure? Is it flexible enough? Do we have the right AI skilled personnel across the organization to achieve this? And do we know enough about AI? Starting from the leaders to set the strategy, because if you don't know, you cannot set a vision what you will achieve with that. And also for your employees to innovate with AI. We call this citizen-led innovation, rather than pushing it top-down, rather than making AI experts, IT team to push some kind of change. Let the people, the process owners, business owners, operation managers come up with ideas to solve their actual problems by using AI. We call this citizen-led innovation, which is much more promising than trying to push something from the top. And also when compared to change management efforts like top-down, bottom-up, when you cover all these, we have this new new change management approach called wildfire approach. You know how wildfire spread? Yeah, exactly. So when you complete all these requirements, all these different angles, actually you can approach a much faster adoption and wildfire approach to achieve change.
For sure. It sounds like it's, as you said, very important, just embrace the change and put people at the center, which is what we started talking about. And now we're kind of back there. This has been a great conversation. Is there anything that you think we missed or that you want to highlight before you go?
So my ultimate message would be to have an open mindset, to keep an eye on what's going on. And more importantly, try to apply what you know, what you hear about the others and see if it's relevant. Start about adopting it. If it's not relevant, just keep on learning.
Keep on learning. So that's a great message to leave. So thank you, Sammy, for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Beatrice. It's been my pleasure.
For more such stories, head to findusmuse.com and make sure you check back with us next week for another exciting episode.